You're listening to sermons from Liberty Baptist Church in Newport Beach, California. For more information about Liberty or to donate to this ministry, you can visit us at libertybaptistchurch.org. We pray that the Lord will use this message to be a help and encouragement in your life.
How many of you come here for God to change you? Hold your hand up, will you? Did you ever go to church looking for nothing? I promise you, if you go looking for nothing, you'll find it every time. I want you to turn to your neighbor right now, whoever it is that's sitting right there by you, and tell him, I come here for God to change me tonight. Tell him, I come here for God to change me tonight. Oh, amen. Now turn back to that same neighbor and tell him, I'm asking God to change you because you really need it. You tell that neighbor, God bless you. Oh, boy. Every time we open the Word of God, we should say, God, change me, change me. Turn in your Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I am preaching on a subject that I've been raising a great deal across America, because I promise you, our country's in enormous trouble. How many of you are watching the wheels come off? The wheels are coming off. And I want to encourage you, the hope is not in Washington, D.C. How many of y'all figured that one out, right? By the way, it never was. The only hope America has is the local church and the gospel of Jesus Christ. I tell everybody, you want to do something to help America, get active in your local church. Go to your pastor and say, give me something to do. You say, yeah, but if I go and do that, he'll give me something to do. That's why you're asking for it. If there was ever a need for God's people to get in the harness, I hope this is not true of you, but in the average fundamental Bible-believing church, less than 6% of the people ever witness, ever. And we've never had nicer looking materials, we've never had better things to use, and we've never done it less. What has happened? And then when it comes to serve, it's under 10%. 90% of the people that are members in fundamental churches don't ever serve. Oh, I'm telling you, if you love this land, if you love the Lord, get serving, get serving. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews that without faith it is impossible to please God. Now, if you're only going to give me your ear for a few minutes, I want you to give it to me right now. It doesn't say without faith it's difficult to please God. It doesn't say it's unlikely. It says it is impossible to please God. Do you understand what that means? You can go out and do stuff, and faith was never in it. And you say, boy, I really did it. God says, without faith, what you did not please me at all. Because without faith, it's impossible. Well, you say, Brother Gibbs, I'm saved, I'm heaven bound. Well, if you're saved, you got saved by faith. The Bible says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But God says there's something more critical than faith in your life. Something that matters to God more than faith. Now, Pastor Wrench, I got to tell you, I have a hard time putting my mind around that. Because without faith, we can't please him. But then God says there's something way more critical than faith in the eyes of God. Hebrews 13, verse 13. Let's get ready to read what it is. The Bible says, now abideth faith. Boy, there's that thing we can't please him without. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13. Now abideth faith, hope, charity. These three. But the greatest of these is not faith. The greatest of these is charity. The word charity used there in the Bible is the word agape. It's the word for love. It's the word for a love that only God can produce through you. An unsaved person can never agape anybody or anything. But a child of God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, can absolutely do it. Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit, the first one is love. And it's the word agape. And God says this love exceeds the value of faith. Now, the world in which we live enjoys the word love. They use it all the time. It amazes me. You walk in a motel and they say, oh, we just love you. Thank you for being here. They don't even know me. And they don't love me. They love my credit card. That's what they love. But I want you to write these three words down that are found in the Bible for the word love. Let's make sure we got the right word. The first word for love that's used is the word eros. That's the word for a physical attraction. It's the word for a physical love. We get the word erotic from it. 90%+ of the time, when the world uses the word love, this is the word they're using. A young man is looking at a young lady, he's physically attracted, and he says, I think I'm falling in love. You're just erasing. But then they haul off and they go and get married based on that feeling. We love each other, they're erasing. But then one day they wake up and what they were physically attracted to isn't there the same anymore. So then you know what they say? Well, I'm not in love anymore. You never were in the love that God wanted. That's why the divorce rate has gone through the roof. God doesn't command you to eros. The second word in the Bible for the word love is the word phileo. We get the word philanthropic. This is Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. This is the love of a nice person. Have you ever met somebody, they're not even saved, but they're nice? And you say, what a nice person. What a loving person. This is just a nice person appreciation love. Boy, I'm thankful for love like this because the world's full of goofy people. How many of you know some goofy people? Hold your hand up. How many of you know some aggravating people? Yeah. How many of you got some of them in your own family? Hold your hand up. How many of y'all are sitting next to one right now? Look at all the hands fly up, sure. And this filio is just a nice person appreciation. It's just nice. But that's not what God commanded. He didn't command eros, he didn't command filio. He commanded the third love, agape. This is the love that only the Holy Spirit of God can produce through you. Now hear me, this love is not a feeling, this love is a decision. You'll never one morning wake up and say, must have happened in the night. I guess now I'm loving agape style. No, no, no. This is the decision you make when the Holy Spirit takes over your love life. When the Spirit of God controls it. And God says this love is more important than faith. Tonight I ask you this searching question, how's your love life? If the Lord was here and we said, Lord, walk the aisles and show us who's got agape. When he came to you, when he came to me, what would he say? I promise you, across America right now, I see very, very little agape love. And yet God says, I'm commanding it. Turn to the book of John just a moment. The book of John, chapter 13. John chapter 13, verse 34. Jesus said, a new commandment I give unto you. This is straight from the lips of Jesus to his disciples and his followers. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. And the word love is agape. as I have loved you. Do you understand the command is, we're not just to love, we're to command the way Jesus loves. By the way, John 3:16, I think the first verse we teach most kids in Sunday school, for God so loved the world, and it's the word agape. He said, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. Verse 35, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Would anybody watching you say, that man's got the love of God? That man has what God commands. Now, I want you to look at the warnings that are at the beginning of 1 Corinthians 13. We're going to look at verses 1, 2, and 3 very quickly, because these are written to Christians, and they're frightening warnings. God says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, agape, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Do you know what a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal is? It's the irritating noise, the aggravating noise that merchants make in the marketplace. They have the ability, they screech and they howl, and it sounds like fingernails on a blackboard. It's to this day, you go in the old market in Jerusalem, and they stand out there and they squeal with their voices, and that squealing, irritating noise is called a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. You know what God says? You're my child. But if you don't have this love, all you are in this world is an irritating noise. Now, the world didn't say that. God said that. Look at the second thing he says, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and underline this next one, and though I have all faith, not great faith, I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not agape charity, say out loud in unison the next three words. I am nothing. Say it again. I am nothing. Whoa. You know what God says, David? If you're not careful, you're going to spend a whole bunch of days being a nothing. Oh, you're going to work and you're going to show diligence, but it's not going to be with the love of God. It's just you doing your stuff. And God says, I got something more important than faith. You can't please me without faith, but this exceeds that. And he says, without it, you'll just be an irritating noise, and without it, you're a nothing. Look at the third warning. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not agape charity, it profiteth me nothing. I wonder how much I've given. And God says, wow, didn't count. It didn't go to your profit account because it wasn't done with love. Do you understand what a nightmare it is for the child of God to forget what's more important than faith? When the God you serve says, this matters to me more, and I'm going to make it possible for you to have it. It's the fruit of the Spirit. And the very first fruit of the Spirit is agape, love. If you're here and you're saved, and how many of you here know the Lord is your Savior? Then you absolutely have the ability to have this love. But it's a decision. It's a decision that you are going to let the Holy Spirit of God take control of your love life. Now, God says, I want to give you some benchmarks. Look at verse 4, chapter 13. We're only going to look at a couple of them, but I want you to underline them. Here's the first one. God says, you wonder if you have this love. Here's the first key. He says, charity, agape, suffereth long. You know what suffereth long means? You can't wear it out. You can't do one thing to ever make it go away. Nothing can defeat it. Nothing. Have you got that love? I'm sick and tired of messing with you. I've already put up with way too much. I don't know why in the world I should have to tolerate anymore. I've already gone too far with you. I just want you out of my life. I want you gone. I'm done messing with you. Agape never says that because you can't wear it out. Oh, you can wear out Philia and you can wear out Eros, but you can't wear out agape. It suffereth long. Have you got the love that nothing can wear out? Well, Brother Gibbs, you don't know my boss. You don't know my mother-in-law. She's the devil's first cousin. And you know what? Every one of us has got aggravating things. But this love can never be worn out. Ever. I wonder if your kids would say, I'm telling you, Dad never stops loving, never. Mom never stops loving. Nothing can wear this out. By the way, this is also the love, as a man, you're commanded to have for your wife. Ephesians 6, husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church. And the word is agape. It's not the word filio. It's not the word eros. God says, I'm commanding you as a Christian man who's married to love your wife with this love. And nothing can ever make it go away. I have to confess to you, I struggle with this. It takes quite a little bit to get me ticked off. But once I'm ticked off, I'm ticked off. How many of you understand what I just said? I mean, and the next thing I want is a plan of action. A plan of action to get even. I walked in an airplane one morning, and the airplane had small seats. And I looked at the seat, and I turned to a flight attendant standing there, and I said to this flight attendant, this is an exact quote, those are the most puny seats I've ever seen. They were just unbelievably small. This is a small seat. When I looked at him, I thought, I'm not going to need a seatbelt. Once I'm wedged in, turn me upside down. We're not going anywhere. I didn't say anything about her. I just criticized the seat. She exploded and let me have it. I said, that's the most puny seat I've ever seen. Like that, she said, real loud, people all around us. Well, you could lose weight, you know. Oh, when she did that, I thought, sweet Alabama. Man, here I am, 5 a.m, I got the mouth of the South on Delta. Well, she said, you could lose weight, you know, and without a thought, I turned back and I said, you know what, you're right, and you could get prettier. I said, I don't know how to tell you this, but you are seriously cosmetically challenged. I said, when you fell out of the tree, you didn't miss a branch. Now, the people around me are clapping. A businessman there got his pen out. He said, where'd you get that? Say that again. I'll write all that down. What happened to you can't wear it out? You'll never do this by accident. This takes your submitting to the Holy Spirit of God. I was putting my coat up overhead, and some tracks I had in my pocket just slipped out. And I picked them up, and boy, the Lord said, probably about a good time to give her one, huh? And I thought, no, what's the matter with me? What's the matter with you? The world is watching. And he said, when you love with this love, the whole world will know who you belong to. A young couple's on their way to the mission field, Jim and Elizabeth Elliott. They're going to Ecuador to go to the headhunters. How'd you like to be a missionary to go to people who, they not only kill you, they eat you? But God gave them a burden to reach the Aka Indians. She's pregnant with their first child. When they get there, Jim Elliott teams up with a man by the name of Nate Saint, and they start flying into the jungle to try to find these Indians. And finally, they show themselves, and they feign friendship. They say, come on down, come on down. And they laid out presents for these pilots. And when they landed, these headhunters viciously killed them. The first thing they did was they speared them. And then they put over a roasting fire where it took almost 10 days to die. Word came back that they had perished. Elizabeth Elliott has lost her husband, and the father of the child she's carrying. And the missionaries there said, Elizabeth, you want to go home? What do you want to do? Go to another field? She said, no. I want to go reach these Indians. What happened next was amazing. They said, why? She said, because we love them. Nothing can wear this love out. Nothing. Oh, now, come on, Brother Gibbs, that don't make a lick of sense. It sure doesn't. That's why it's not man-made, it's God-made. They said, well, we'll send you in with the army. And then she said, oh, no, you go in with the army, they'll just flee into the forest, we'll never even find them. She said, I'm just going to go in with a couple other missionaries. They fasted and prayed, and in they went. When she got in front of the tribe that had killed her husband, her presence terrified them. They said, where did you get the strength to come and stand in front of us? Do you not understand how fierce we are? She said, I understand. You killed my husband. They said, well, where do you get the power to do this? And she said, from my God. He loves you, and I love you. And the man who was the chief, who I later got to meet, he said, that's all your husband kept saying while we roasted him over a fire. All he kept saying is, God loves us and he loves us. And now here you are standing in front of us. By this shall all men know who you belong to. She led that tribe to Christ. I had the privilege to be on the same platform with Elizabeth Elliott numerous times. And Pastor Thompson, I asked her many times, I said, did that not scare you to go in there? She said, oh, Brother Gibbs, it terrified me. But she said, terror and fear cannot stop love. Have you got that? Or would you be honest and say, no, I don't have it, and I don't think I've ever had it? Well, this is more important than faith. God's commanding you to have it. Commanding it. I got to meet those headhunters. The man who was responsible for killing her husband is now their pastor. And I said, how? He said we were terrorized by their love. Fighting hand to hand, that's every day. But when they came with love, we weren't ready to handle that. Have you got that love? It suffereth long. Nothing can wear it out. Nothing. Look at the next thing it says. And is kind. You can't hide kind. Kind always shows, always. I wonder if your kids would say, Dad, not be kind? No way. Because Dad loves. And the love of God is always kind. Always. A man wrote a nasty letter about us years ago. And it was just lie on lie on lie. Never talked to us, but he sent it out. And all of a sudden, my friends are calling me saying, this isn't true, is it? And Brother Rich, I'm saying, no, it's not true. Of course not. Those are lies. But again, I got mad. So I decided, I know what I'm going to do. I thought about it overnight. I decided, I'm going to sue you once a day, every day, for 30 straight days. You want to play word games? I'm going to make you regret the day you were born. And I felt wonderful about it. I had all the lawyers coming in at 1 o'clock on Monday. I got back into town Monday morning. When I came in the office, there was my secretary, Mrs. Block. She's with the Lord now, and she said, boy, I saw that letter. She said, it's terrible. I said, I know. She said, those are lies. She said, I've been here 25 years. Those are lies. All of that's lies. I said, I know. She said, well, I know what you're going to do. I said, yeah, surely I'm going to sue him once a day, every day, for 30 straight days. I am going to go after him with a passion. She said, no. You're not going to do that. You're going to be kind, aren't you? And I said, yeah. Right after I get even. She said, Brother Gibbs, you are commanded by God to love him and bless him. And she quotes me Matthew 5. Now, while she's doing that, I looked at her and I thought, Lord, right now I do not need a Christian secretary. I just don't. Turn to Matthew 5. I want you to look at it. Verse 43. You've heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. And the word love there is not agape. It's the word filio. And by the way, that's the world. I don't care what news channel you turn on. They want you to love what they love and hate what they hate. But I say unto you, say out loud the next three words, love your enemy. Say it, you've got real quiet. Say it really loud. Love your enemies. Is that you? It's a command. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Mercy. She said, Brother Gibbs, if you do to him what you're talking about, you're worse than him. And I said, surely that's the whole idea. I want to get even plus, plus, plus. She said, you can't do that. Your God forbids it. By the way, there is no such thing as a good Christian who doesn't love his enemies. This is a command. She said, promise me you're not going to sue him. I said, okay. She said, well, I knew you'd want to tell him you love him, so when I saw you pull up, I dialed him up on the phone. And I looked down, and line five's just a blinking away, and she picked it up, and she said, here, tell him you love him. Now, Shirley was from West Virginia, but she had Italian in her background. And she wanted you to do something, she'd say, tell him you love him. And I looked at her, and I said, leave me alone. This is terrible. And you say, well, this is easy for me. Really? Then how come we see so little of it? If it is so easy, how do we not see agape love everywhere? She handed me the phone, and all I said was, hello? That's all I said, hello. This so-called Christian leader cussed me out. He's cussing loud. I said, you hear that, Shirley? Listen to him. Let's go back to once a day, every day, 30 straight days. Let's fix him, and then we'll do it your way. She said, tell him you love him. Whew. I said, I just called to tell you I love you. He said, you don't mean that. And I thought, boy, are you dead right. I said, I want to tell you something. You're a bad man. But I'm worse than you. I wanted to hurt you more than you hurt me. But I ran into a godly secretary who reminded me what Jesus commands. How's your love life? Have you got the love of God? Oh, we sing the song, the love of God, so rich and pure. Do you understand it's more important than faith? And we're commanded to love our enemies? You can't wear it out, and it's kind. A Russian pastor was put in prison. He was a Baptist, independent fundamental Baptist, and they put him in prison for almost 20 years. Tortured him and tortured him. And said, all you have to do is deny your faith and we'll let you go. And he said, no, I won't do that. Finally, his captors, being mercenary, they said, we torture him anymore, we'll kill him. But here's what we're going to do. We're going to bring your two daughters in. And we're going to torture them. And then let's see what your faith means. They brought his daughters in, and the first thing they did was put hot pokers in their ears and deafen them. Can you imagine having that happen to you in your presence? And he still didn't break. And then they brought the daughters back, and they made it where they were not only deaf, they made it where they were dumb. They cut their tongues out. Never able to say another word, hear another word. And the last thing both girls said before they were deafened was, don't you give up, don't you dare. And the last thing they said when they cut their tongues out is, don't you dare give in. When the iron came down and the wall came down, for the first time, we got to see these girls. You know the first thing they did? They couldn't hear and speak, so they had someone teach them sign so they could say to the men who did this to them, we love you. What? We love you. You can't wear this love out. And this love is kind. I want you to turn to the end of chapter 13. And I want to read verse 13 one more time. Now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. Now look at what it says, chapter 14, the first part of verse 1. Follow after charity. The word follow that's used there was the word for a passionate pursuit. God says, I want this to be a passion with you, that you have this love. I don't know what love you came here with, but I know based on the promise of God what love you can leave with. And it is life-changing. You're going to have the love of the Holy Spirit activated in you, but it takes you being willing and submitting and asking. God, I want the love that nothing can wear out, absolutely nothing. And I want the love that is always kind. No matter what someone does to me, I am going to entreat back with kindness. America right now needs to see some men who love God's way, who have the love that only the Holy Spirit can explain. The world can't even begin to understand this love because they think, you treat me nice, I'll treat you nice, but you treat me like dirt, well, then I'm going to reciprocate. You've heard this, you punch, I punch back harder. Whoa, whoa, whoa. That's not in the Bible. We're to love our enemies. Do good to them and bless them. And God says, if someone tries to take advantage of you, then you're in my hand. And you leave it up to God. How's your love life? I beg you tonight, get agape, the love of God. Bow your heads. Father, oh, tonight, the devil doesn't care what we just heard as long as we don't do anything with it. In fact, the devil loves it when we're hearers but not doers. How many of you say, Brother Gibbs, God spoke to my heart tonight. I want that love. I want that. My heart's been touched. If that's true, hold your hand up right now. Hold your hand up high. If you got your hand up, I want you to get up out of your seat as Brother Hopkins begins to play. I want you to come right now. Oh, there it is, the love of God. Nothing can take its place, absolutely nothing. It's never an accident. It's a submission to the Holy Spirit. God, I bow with these men. Forgive me, forgive us. Where we've loved on our terms instead of yours. The love that's more important than faith, that nothing can wear it out, nothing. And it's always kind. God, we want to show this world what the love of God looks like. We want to show our families what it looks like. And where we work, we want them to see what it looks like. God, hear the cry of every heart, I pray. By your grace, by your power, we can't do this. But you always enable us to do what you command, always, with divine power. We submit. We want your Holy Spirit to control our love, our passion. hear the cry of every heart in Jesus' name. Amen. How many of you know the name Lester Roloff? Hold your hand up, dear man of God. I had the privilege in 14 litigations to defend him. And in one of them, we had a lawyer on the other side who was horrible. Not bad, horrible. Every time we'd see him, he'd cuss at the pastor, just with vulgar, vile things. And he kept telling Brother Roloff, I hate you. And my goal is to destroy you and put you in prison. And halfway through that trial in court one day, Brother Roloff walked up to this lawyer. Now this lawyer and I, we've been going at it face to face. I mean, he and I had some shouting matches. But Brother Roloff walked up to him and he said, I got something I want to tell you, young man. And with dripping disgust, this lawyer turned to him and said, what do you want to tell me? He said, just one thing. I love you. He said, you what? He said, I love you. And I'm praying for you to get saved. You could be another Paul. You could be a great lawyer for God. And I wonder if you'd let me hug you. This lawyer looked at him and he said, not one of my prior wives loves me. None of my kids do. Nobody does. And you're telling me you do. He said, I do because my God loves you. And I want you in heaven. Brother Roloff hugged him. And that vile lawyer's lip began to tremor. And he looked at him and he said, I don't know what to do with you. I've done everything I can to break you, and I don't know what to do with you. Nothing can stop this love. Nothing. When Brother Roloff and I walked out into the hall, he turned to me and these were his words. He said, David, you're going nowhere with God till you love him the way God loves you. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Turn to your neighbor and tell your neighbor, by the grace of God, I'm going to love God's way. Turn to your neighbor and tell your neighbor, by the grace of God, I'm going to love God's way.
Thanks for listening to Messages from Liberty. Tune in next week for more helpful Bible teaching or subscribe on iTunes to stay up to date with our current series.